Welcome, everybody, to Web and Beyond Live for January 10th, 2021. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. I'm president and CEO of W3 Consulting, and I'm managing director of our web services. W3C Web Services is our WordPress hosting, domain name registration, and other web-related services subsidiary of W3 Consulting. We focus on small business products and services there. And Web and Beyond Live, which you've joined here, is our weekly show about topical and timely small business digital marketing issues. And welcome for those of you who are watching live. And if you are listening to watching the replay or listening to the podcast after the fact, welcome to you also. Feel free to ask questions in the chat here live. And you can, of course, message me after the fact in the comment section or otherwise. You can also always tweet at me at W3 Consulting. It's the number three, so W3 Consulting on Twitter. I am usually there on Twitter doing my thing. So today we're going to talk about some issues relating to the pandemic and hopefully some resources. I'm hopeful there. And we've got a couple of quick pieces of news. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Instagram sales funnel that Social Media Examiner put out, I think was very useful. And then we're going to close out talking about WordPress and their publishing of 5.9, which brings full site editing as well as Microsoft Bing and the Index Now project bringing support for Index Now to WordPress. So it's all exciting. Happy Clear Off Your Desk Day. Today is Clear Off Your Desk Day. And I thought this article was actually really interesting for folks. And the idea here is that, let's see here. Let's get over from here to here. There we go. And this was an interesting article that I found on entrepreneur.com. And it was all about, is your workplace disorganized? And since it was Clear Off Your Desk Day, I thought it was really interesting because what this article talks about is the fact that so much of our world today, especially when we're doing digital marketing and most of our businesses are online, we're doing work on the web in essence. How do you actually see whether your workplace is disorganized? And this article is actually a very good way for you to perceive and kind of see what this is all about. So I highly recommend that you check out this article. I'll put links to all of these in the video description as well as in the show notes for the podcast. So really interesting. I'm not going to go through it, but I think it was really interesting for you to kind of check out, to think through, you know, like, messy desks are one thing, but today, since so much is done on our computers, on our devices, that we need to do a little bit of a deeper dive to see whether or not that is really what's going on under the hood. This next article was something that came up on CNBC, and it was that it was about the fact that Croc, the company that makes those shoes, had their fourth quarter sales up 42%. And the CEO, Andrew Rees, was basically saying that last year was an exceptional year for them. And I think this goes to a really important point about the changing behavior and the changing shopping behaviors of consumers in light of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. And so here we are, you know, in our basically our third year of this, and we are seeing consumers buying behaviors and the products they're buying to be different, right? They're buying athleisure. They're buying lots of Crocs, it seems. And funny enough, I came across these shoes called the Flofers. And the Flofers are intriguing to me. And I will not admit whether or not I've purchased a pair. But the idea is that they are kind of like Crocs, but they don't look like them. And nothing against the Croc style. It just is not my style. And these are loafers that are also similarly constructed, made out of EVA foam or something like that. And the reason I bring it up for you all is to be mindful of the fact that with the changing nature of consumer behavior, our businesses need to change, and so do our marketing tactics. And so this may mean that you need to really adapt your product or think of new products and services based on really what's going to stay here, right? People are going to be looking for online convenience, shipping and delivery, and they're going to be looking for products and services that serve them in a not necessarily full-time work remote environment, but certainly sometime working remotely. And that means they're looking for comfort. They're looking for things that are going to help them be more effective in their home spaces. And I think that this is a good example of one of those things. I think that, you know, people probably wouldn't wear Crocs to the office, but they would wear Crocs or loafers at home. You know, I have a deck, and I would wear these loafers out on the deck, right? So it's something that gives me an opportunity to have something lightweight to wear that's comfortable when I'm outside working. So these are the kinds of things that you need to start thinking about and you know, adapting your business's products and services for 2022. So I wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. Next up was just a quick note on I came across an article on Insider or Business Insider, and they clued me into this application called Quick Hire. And I know that many of you who run service businesses are having issues finding staff. And I just thought this was, I don't know anything about the efficacy of this particular software, but it's called Quick Hire. And the Quick Hire application is basically two-ended, right? They have the employees on one side, and then they have the employers on the other side. I believe the lowest level is one job posting, and that gives you one job posting for $199 USD per month. And so certainly something to consider and look to see if that's something that might be interesting to you. But in essence, you use the Quick Hire app to hire service employees. And so service employees sign up in the program, and this is supposed to be a fast and quick way to be able to get those people hired and onboarded. So finding the right people and then hiring them. So I thought it was pretty interesting and just wanted to bring it to your attention in case this was something that you needed in your service business in terms of finding the right employees and that kind of thing. So, all right, I'm not going to play this whole video, not worth it. Next up, CES just ended, which is the formerly known Consumer Electronics Show, and they had to shorten the actual show itself. But I wanted to bring this up because this is really going to continue to underscore my kind of soapbox about the future of marketing in augmented reality. And, you know, I've been talking all last year about how important augmented reality has been in Snapchat and how the Snap camera has really innovated in this space. We are now seeing at CES continued support for that notion. We see, Verizon coming out with these new glasses, these new augmented reality glasses. And for anybody who's not aware, augmented reality just means that we are applying a set of visuals on top of real space, right? So if you had a headset on, or if you used your phone, you're looking at your phone screen, and through your phone screen, basically there's a projection into physical space imagery. It could be 3D imagery, it could be 2D imagery or otherwise, but it's basically putting stuff on top of the existing space. The most clear example is Google Maps. If you open up your Google Maps application on the latest operating system and the latest version of the software, and you go ahead and go into the Google Maps mode that allows you to basically, I think it's street mode, walking mode or whatever. It in essence turns on the camera, and then it overlays onto the camera directions, and it shows you which way you should turn. And based on where you're turning your phone, it's showing on screen exactly what is in front of you, identifying the buildings and the stores, which way you need to walk to get to a particular place, and other types of rich metadata that's applied on top of the screen so that you can see that in quote unquote physical space. Augmented reality from a digital marketing perspective, I think is so, so powerful because it's going to give users the ability to be able to see themselves in their products. And what do we want people to do? We want them to make emotional decisions in relating to your products, right? And people make decisions emotionally, period. We know that that's marketing psychology 101. But the reality is we want them to make those decisions about your products first, and we want those to be positive decisions, right? We want them to see themselves in your product, which means they'll be more likely to purchase your product. So what we're seeing here at CES is we see Verizon is getting in the game. Way back in the day, Google launched Google Glass, right? They were way ahead of the time, and Google Glass failed for that reason in terms of a consumer market. But we see, as I said, Verizon. Here goes now Microsoft coming out with Qualcomm to create their own AR glasses, their own augmented reality glasses. And even further than that, we see TCL, which is a Chinese manufacturer, coming out with their own augmented reality glasses. We're just seeing time and time again, more and more augmented reality glasses that are going to be coming onto the pike. Facebook, of course, or Meta, has partnered with Ray-Ban to put out their glasses, and we're going to see more and more of these glasses coming out onto the market. And so do not lose sight of this. If you're doing retail, or if you're doing any kind of business whereby you need to actually show people something in real time, in real space, augmented reality is going to be a very, very powerful tool for being able to sell both digitally, even in person. I see this as being really a fundamental, the cliche of a game changer, but this is really a game changer. I'm setting VR far further into the future, but AR is really here. It's really coming onto the pike in, I think, 2022 to 2023 and 2024. These next 24 months is really going to see Snapchat and other applications really embrace AR and bring it to the fore. Okay. Next up is Social Media Examiner put out basically a funnels explanation for Instagram. And I thought this was really helpful, and I wanted to walk you through it. So in essence, they kind of demystify how to set up a funnel on Instagram. And this can really apply to almost any social network. In essence, they take you from the discovery or awareness stage of the funnel to then the consideration phase, right? So top of the funnel is everybody that could buy from you, is basically narrowed down to the people who find you, right? And then they, from finding you, then they consider you against other competitors and so on and so forth. Once they have considered that, then they are ready for a sale, and that becomes conversion. Are they going to buy from you or not? And then below that, further down the funnel even, we have sometimes a stage called loyalty, where people come, of course, refer and repeat buy, right? So they refer people to you, and they also repeat purchase from you. And so they do this here in the Instagram sales funnel perspective. And so here they talk about the idea that some of the things you can do for an Instagram sales funnel is starting on the awareness stage, making sure that you complete your bio, making sure that you link to your company's website so that people can learn more about you, effectively using hashtags in your bio that you are going to be using in your Instagram content, making sure that your contact details for the business, such as your email and phone, are in the buttons, making sure that you have an Instagram business profile so that that is the case, so you can put those things in there, making sure that your story highlights are set up and that you have a shop button that lets customers browse and buy on Instagram. So that means setting up the Instagram shop components. These are some of the suggestions they make for being able to optimize the awareness phase. Two, they talk about publishing helpful or entertaining content in the awareness phase, right? Because that's just helpful. And driving discovery means adding hashtags to the Instagram content you're creating. This can include your video and story, any video posts, image posts that you're creating for the feed, but also stories and reels, and even your Instagram video, like Instagram Live, that you're producing. Making sure that you're effectively using those hashtags so that people can find you is really, really important. They gave some additional recommendations, like partnering with relatable Instagram influencers and sharing expertise to build credibility, as well as demoing your product, okay, and creating tutorials of that nature. They also say let customers test drive your product. They say for free, but you know, there are different mechanisms for doing that. And of course, they talk about the idea of running ads, basically using traffic and lead generation campaigns to do that. Lead gen ads right now are probably the most effective cost or most affordable and highest ROI ads that are on Instagram right now. Next, they go to the conversion funnel, right? So go from discovery and awareness down to conversion. And did we skip consideration? I guess that was consideration we jumped into. Oh yeah. So some of these things here, I skipped a note here. So the share expertise to build credibility, that number five is actually under consideration. And I thought they restarted these numbers, but creating tutorials and otherwise, these are all under the consideration phase. And then so see the difference there, like creating useful and helpful content is different than, say, running traffic and lead generation campaigns. And see how most people try to do the opposite? They try to create awareness with a set of ads, when in reality, what reinforces your business are the ads typically, right? So you're starting off with organic content and hashtags and creating great content on the front end, but really to drive people down closer to the sale really requires reinforcement of these ads for people who are already following you, which is kind of a unique way to think about it, but it is more practical in terms of being able to drive people further down the funnel. Then we get to the conversion stage, and these are the typical things you would think about: having the Instagram shop set up, making sure that you are creating limited time offers or exclusive offers to people who are on Instagram specifically, doing product drops where you are announcing new products and doing live shopping events, running conversion and catalog sales campaigns, again, going back to advertising to push people to that. Then we get to the loyalty stage, that bottom of the funnel component where you have repeat and refer business. And this is your brand showing gratitude, basically going out there and letting people know about, you know, how much you appreciate them, sharing customer success stories, and of course, highlighting user-generated content. And so they give these various options for being able to utilize Instagram in a sales funnel perspective. I thought it was really, really useful, and I highly recommend if you are interested in doing any level of this work on social networks, this is a good template to think about, not just on Instagram, but on Facebook and Twitter and other places, thinking through how you're actually utilizing organic content versus paid advertising in combination. Okay. To close out, I wanted to talk about WordPress, specifically 5.9. And I guess I'll jump forward first in just announcing this, which is that Microsoft last week announced the Index Now plugin for WordPress. This is fantastic. So if you do not know about Index Now, it is a new technology basically that allows your website to ping search engines differently than how it's been done in the past. In the past, search engines go out there and they crawl, they look at every website and they see whether or not your website should be indexed. Microsoft has flipped the script now and they basically say, okay, we're going to allow your websites to ping us, basically send a signal to tell us when you've updated your websites. And this is very similar to maybe RSS feeds, if you know what RSS feeds are. And this protocol is widely available. It's available to all of the search engines to be able to adopt. And so now Microsoft has created an Index Now plugin for WordPress, meaning that you can install this Index Now plugin and it will automatically turn on and ping Microsoft and Google and the other search engines, letting them know whenever any individual page is updated, thereby sending them to the site to go ahead and index it or crawl it for it to be able to be seen by others. This is very, very powerful technology, and I highly recommend people start, adapting it for their websites, not just for the Bing browse search engine, but also for Google and the other search engines as well that will inevitably take over and take up, adoption of this protocol. Okay, so that aside, WordPress has now, as of last week or the week before, put out the release candidate 1 for WordPress 5.9, which in essence is bringing what is called full site editing and block themes to WordPress. Now, we talked last year about the fact that, you know, with Gutenberg having come out, Gutenberg allowed you this block-based editor in the content side. So any page or post, you in essence have these blocks you can move around, they're fungible, and you're able to have particular qualities associated with them. So a block can be just a normal text paragraph, it can be a heading, it can be an image or a gallery of images, it could be multimedia, whatnot. And now you can move them around. Once you've created a block, you can kind of just move it around in your visual sphere, and it basically looks like what it will look like when you publish it on your website. Well, WordPress has been working to bring that to that capability, that editing capability, to the front end of your website so that you'll have themes that are able to be block edited just like the post and page editor has been with Gutenberg. This is fundamentally, you know, going to change WordPress and how people design WordPress sites, how they change WordPress sites, and certainly how theme frameworks, you know, like Divi and others adapt to the block editing component. Right now, full site editing is available only for themes built for it. So they have to be block themes in order for you to do that. WordPress has put one out called 2022. aptly named for the year in which it was published, and they put one out every year named after the year. But the block theme 2022 is the first one that supports WordPress 5.9 for full site editing. And so you can play around with it. You can install it and see how you can move things around. This article here on Gutenberg Times actually covers all of the various materials that are currently published about the topic and how it will all work, including the site editor, block themes, how styles and the navigation block and the template part block will all be operating. I don't want to get too far in the weeds other than to say that be prepared for 5.9. We are doing lots of work internally at W3C Web Services to make sure that people are aware of how this is working and answering lots of questions from folks about that. But 5.9 is a big change for a lot of people, and it's going to put a lot more power in the hands of the average business owner. You're going to be able to now basically change anything about the front end of your website if you adopt one of these block themes, which, again, with great power comes great responsibility. So be mindful of the fact that you are being given a lot of power with block themes and with full site editing, and you're going to have to not only learn it yourself, but also train your staff in how to utilize those features as well. And so Robin's joined us. Hi, Robin. She's noting here that small businesses need to think again, how the pandemic is changing consumer behavior and incorporate that into their product and service design. Absolutely. I think that's totally true and underscores kind of my thoughts regarding the Crocs and the Flofers. I don't know why that name just makes me giggle, but I like the Flofers. So I'm just really excited about WordPress 5.9 and what it's going to do for businesses generally. I think it's going to be very, very powerful for all of you who are on the WordPress platform. You just need to learn about it, how to use it, and make sure that you are training up your folks for that. With that I think covers what I wanted to cover today in terms of news items. I did want to note for everybody that our first Small Business Virtual Roundtable happened last Tuesday. I think we had a couple of technical difficulties, so I apologize for folks who weren't able to get into the Zoom meeting. I don't know what I did, but we'll be back again on Tuesday, February 1st at noon Eastern, right? We moved it back an hour this past month because of a scheduling conflict, but going forward, February 1st will be at noon Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to have the topic, how to get media attention in the digital age. We're going to talk about public relations, publicity, media attention, how to connect with the media, all of those various topics. And so come with your experiences, come with your questions, and we're going to have a really great conversation for our second Small Business Virtual Roundtable. It's a good time to network with other business owners and to make those connections, but also to share and learn together in the roundtable format. And then we have our twice monthly webinars, the Web and Beyond webinars series. Our next one will be on January 20th, 2022. And that one's going to be on launching an affiliate program for small business in 2021. I did this webinar, I think, back in 2018, something like that. And things have just changed in that time frame. And so I'm going to be redoing that webinar so that folks can get a handle on, if you're going to utilize affiliate marketing in some way, shape, or form in your business, how would you launch an affiliate program for your business? So if you are interested, you can go ahead and find out about the webinar by going to w3cinc.com/events. So w3cinc.com/events. And all of this is also actually all posted inside of our free online community, which is Web and Beyond Community. So if you go to www.webandbeyond.community, you'll be able to find out all of those event items are posted in there, along with a bunch of other resources and so on and so forth. So with that, I hope you all have a wonderful week ahead. This is, of course, Web and Beyond Live, which happens typically at 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays. As I noted last week, and I'm just like preparing everybody for the next few weeks, we will be moving the times around. I'm still trying to decide when those are going to be, but I'm going to basically be moving these things around, and I'll be moving them to a little bit different of platforms. I'm going to try and post on social media where they're going to be and all that other fun stuff, but I know that it's going to be a little bit treacherous. But my goal is to test out some of these other platforms and these other tools. I just want to play around. And since this is a playground of sorts for me on Web and Beyond Live, I figured this is the easiest place to do it. And then after that, we'll settle in on a time and on a platform and go from there. But we have come to the end of our time together this week. If you've enjoyed the live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That helps us make new small business friends. And so thank you for doing that. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to leave those in the chat or go ahead and tweet at me at W3 Consulting on Twitter. And thanks so much for spending this Web and Beyond Live with me. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and our subsidiary, W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing your small business on the Web and Beyond.